hard year for filmmakers to get things made. Like the whole industry is shifting, and there's, you know, it's cyclical, but it's a really, really challenging time for indie filmmakers, any filmmakers. But yeah, I think like the, again, like nothing's linear. Nothing's linear.
Everything's a cycle.
So welcome to this episode of the Let's Talk Film podcast. I'm Katie Mejia, and today I'm joined by Anastasia Rykova and Julie Charvet, two very talented, multi-talented filmmakers and artists that were official selections of the 2023 Woodstock Film Festival. So let's get started with Julie. Julie, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and your project, Scam?
Awesome. Thanks so much for having me. And thanks for having me at the festival. It was such a blast. I grew up in New York City, and I went to Vanderbilt University in Nashville and then came back to New York to be an actor, actually, and was doing film, theater, TV until I ended up writing a lot. And I also did a lot of live comedy, and I ended up writing and directing my first feature that came out in 2015, which brought me to LA and then brought me on, the journey of a sophomore feature. And in the process of doing that, I sort of figured out that I really loved horror and genre and comedy. So I started writing a lot more in that area and making my first short, 3 Days, which also screened at Woodstock and is now on Altar. And then this short, Scam, I made in early 2023. We finished post, and it's just been like a wonderful ride, both in like terrific, like sort of prestigious festivals and also genre festivals. And yeah, this is an area, a genre that I really love working in, specifically in an attempt to sort of tell sort of social commentary stories that are a little like off the beaten path, and shining a light on interesting marginalized sort of voices in ways that are fun and provocative. And yeah, that's what I did with Scam, hopefully. And that's what I'm trying to do with my next works.
Sweet. Thanks for joining. And Anastasia Rykova, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself as well and your anti-war fairy tale animated short?
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. Yeah, my name is Anastasia Rykova. Originally, I was born in Russia and I moved to US for the school. I was doing fine arts in Russia. My path into animation was quite a rough. I started as a fine artist and I felt a little bit limited in that media. So I wanted to switch in something in between film and fine arts. So I chose animation and went to Ringling College for Art and Design in Florida. And I graduated actually like almost a year ago. And The Tale of Two Cruel Rulers, which is my debut short animated short film, it was my thesis film. After graduation, I worked in a couple of different studios as an associate art director. Most of the times, I'm the person who is in between pre-production and 3D production, just because I have a knowledge of 3D and I also have a design skills. So Woodstock Film Festival was my first in-person film festival, which was super exciting. I really enjoyed organization and being able to talk to people in person. Yeah, so I'm currently keep working as an art director and just keep growing the career and hoping of doing more short films in the future.
You guys both made awesome short films. And one of the things that I think is interesting is just the genre of short film in general. Like, obviously, there's a genre inside of a genre. You guys, you know, one is Anastasia, yours is animation. And yours was like about 2 minutes-ish, right?
Yeah.
Totally. And then... Julie, yours was like about 7 minutes, your piece. And I'm just curious, you know, because I also had a short film and it was 17 minutes and it took me like a year to make it, but it's a documentary, which is really different. What you guys did is like, wow, you know, I did have some animation in the documentary, but it was like nothing even close to what you did in yours, Anastasia. But it was like, you know, just an illustration just to kind of make the B-roll stuff a little more exciting. And, you know, I'm just curious because I see my piece also as like a, you know, almost like a proof of concept to be able to do a longer form. Do you guys see that with your pieces? And we can start with you, Julie.
I mean, I think that's definitely like a thing that's become more commonplace. For me, Scam was 100% a standalone piece. I had been through the festival circuit with my previous film, 3 Days, which was a little bit more of a proof of concept, not a proof of concept per se, but a proof of idea. It was about women alone camping And it was part of sort of a larger story I was interested in telling. But Scam, I was really inspired during that festival run. I was so inspired by the shorter films that I saw. Because I love a film that can pack a punch and tell a great story in like a shorter amount of time. And so with Scam, I really just wanted, that was an exercise in trying to do that. It just like telling a lean, mean, super fun story in under 10 minutes. It's like, yeah, 7.5 minutes. And it's a standalone piece. I have ideas for a feature out of it. And I've talked to some people about that too, but really it's just meant to be like its own thing.
Yeah, and this is a good segue into, I want to show the trailer for it. We'll go ahead and show Anastasia's trailer as well. So enjoy this.
Hello?
Grandma.
Who is this? You've made a mistake. A terrible mistake.
So that was really cool to be able to just get a taste of your work, because I think they're so outstanding, honestly. Like, it's really incredible work that you guys have done. And I know, Julie, you've traveled around a lot for this piece. How many different film festivals did you, and I'm just curious also, what was your strategy for submitting and being at so many film festivals?
Yeah, we premiered at the River Run Film Festival in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, which is an amazing festival. Super cool Oscar qualifying festival like Woodstock.
What's it called?
That was the River Run Film
River
Festival.
Run, okay.
Yeah, in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. And that was in April of 23. And that was our world premiere. And we're actually still in festivals. Actually, in 2 days, I head to the Annapolis Film Festival in Maryland. And we're playing at the Salem Horror Fest at the end of the month. And I'd been through this a few times. I'd been through this with 3 days in Regional Fest and also Horror Fest.
Anastasia, the same thing goes for you. What you know, you created this piece. Did you know you were going to submit it to film festivals, or how did the whole film festival strategy thing work for you?
Yeah, because it was my first film. Like, it's my debut film. And it's quite hard to figure out the strategy without having that experience ahead of time. So, yeah, it's still in a festival run. I got into like 17 film festival stills. But since it's like a short format, it's more majority of film festivals I'm getting into are animation specific. Yes. But the strategy, like, I understand that the genre of a filmmaking I'm leaning towards is a little bit more indie, a little bit like darker. But while a lot of animation film festivals still enjoy, like, I don't know, short comedies, cute pieces. So my strategy was to look into more indie film festivals and try to submit towards them and target them with them. I think.
So in terms of like the festivals, do you animation's different. So it's kind of a little bit more obvious. How did you know to submit to the Woodstock Film Festival? I was just curious.
Honestly, it's just because I was looking through the ratings of the film festivals and trying to see what films in animation sections got in before and if I anyhow fit in. So this was how I found out about Woodstock Film Festival. And since Woodstock invited me for Q&A, I flew over for a couple of days to get to meet people. So it was really exciting.
Yeah. That's great. So like a lot of festivals won't necessarily have Q&As. And so you were like excited about that part. So maybe we're kind of jumping around since we lost you there, Julie. So we were like, let's just go this way with it. So we're jumping around a lot. We were talking about, the short form of it. And now we're talking about festivals for shorts. So let's stick with that for a second. So the shorts circuit, if you want to call it that, when you submit your film to festivals, you guys feel like it's pretty straightforward, right? In terms of like figuring out because if you're doing a genre film, it's like there's genre festivals, right? And if you're doing animation, there's animation festivals. And I was just curious, what other festivals do you feel like are on your radar? Why would you pick them over? Because there's just so many, you know, and it's like, why did you pick the Woodstock Film Festival, Julie? I'm just curious too, to answer that.
Yeah. I mean, I think I definitely, because mostly working in genre, I did certainly like submit to a lot of like top tier genre festivals. But I also think that like great genre films should be like, they should be appreciated by all sorts of audiences. And so that's my ambition too, is just to go to great festivals and meet terrific communities and share my work with them. I really sought out festivals that I knew to have a reputation for talkbacks, for great, like filmmaker forward festivals, festivals that really like make a home for filmmakers and really give access to audiences to like talk about work, talk about the state of the industry, things like that. And yeah, and also like I think the more that I do this, I really also make a concerted effort to only submit to festivals where I think I can get there. Like I really want to share that experience in person with those audiences and with those other filmmakers. So it's not always, you know, it's not always doable. And sometimes, you know, by the grace of film festivals, you get into multiple festivals on a weekend or whatever. But yeah, I really like to engage with the communities that support those festivals too.
Yeah, I think most filmmakers would prefer that. So that's definitely one of the things that Woodstock Film Festival does compared to others, is that like 99% of the people, if they can get here, do have pretty solid Q&As. And, you know, it's like rewarding because, you know, everybody's just watching stuff on their computer, you know, and then so film festivals are seeing like a super duper boon because there's just so much commercialism and limited space. Do you guys feel like after you do this festival run with this particular project, you're going to do like another project and do the same thing? Or like, do you get kind of burnt out doing this? Or is this just sort of how you see your, you know, your career, like, or your, you know, your outlet for your projects? And anybody can jump in on that.
I think, oh, you go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that since I have a really small budget for my film because it's a graduation film.
You submitted it to how many films? Like 17?
I think I got into 17. Yeah. So I feel like with my next one, I will be a little bit more targeted because with this one, I wish I were able to visit more film festivals in person. Because I had other invitations, but Woodstock was the one who was like the first one, and it offered a Q&A and everything. So I felt like I missed a little bit on that like communication with the audience, especially I noticed because I did a solo film. So I obviously have a voice actress who did an incredible job. I have an incredible music composer, but all of them were in different countries and they were not be able to come. So I was the only one coming. And I felt like I wish my next film would include a bigger crew so we could come together and enjoy the time. Because at Woodstock, I noticed how people are like knowing each other, as they met each other before, as they're talking about their film experience. And really, it's like a huge celebration of finishing a piece. And I feel like I would love to have it if it was my next film.
Yeah, I can see that being important. I mean, it's very expensive to fly around. As long, obviously, you have a production company, you're writing it all off, but it's entering the festivals, knowing which ones, you know, and obviously being there, being able to time it right in your schedule. I mean, it's a lot. But what do you think the benefit? Either one of you guys can answer. What's the benefit to doing the film festivals? Like for each of your projects, how do you see? You know, obviously you guys are really, you know, the message of your piece is really important. I mean, you also, you know, and we could talk more, Julie, about the message in your piece. But how do you see, besides the message getting out there, which is what a lot of people, you know, are driven these days with film and their art, is like making that sure that message gets out there, interacting with audiences. What are the other benefits you think of doing film festival runs and doing the process of, you know, traveling especially, and do you see yourself doing this with other projects?
Yeah, I mean, short answer, yes. Like this is now, so before I fell off the internet planet, I was starting to say that I've done this now a few times, and I learned things every time I've done these independent film festival runs, and I love them so much. I think now, practically speaking, I sort of take like an ebb and flow approach to it. Like last year was like the water flowing out with me traveling to go to festivals. This year is water flowing in with me writing scripts and getting like geared up to produce my next film. But I love these festival runs and I learn so much every time I do them. I haven't made an official announcement yet, but I have a feature film that's now in development and hopefully we will go into production this fall, which is very exciting. But that film probably won't be an indie film, which is crazy because I've never made anything that hasn't been supported by these networks. And so it's like a blessing and a curse because I'm like, I love going to festivals and sharing this work. But also it'll be really cool if we can just like drop into a theater. That would be an amazing experience too. So, you know,
the whole thing was a stepping stone for you to get funded projects, right? And this is a piece you wrote, you're the screenwriter for it? Or
yes.
Nice. Yeah. What's it about? I mean, I know you're still announcing it.
It's a script that I wrote that I've been working on the last couple of years. It's called Ghosties, and it's about it's a genre film. It's a horror buddy comedy. And it's just like a piece that's really close to my heart, but it's really funny and cool. It's very Edgar Wright, early Edgar Wright kind of film. So I'm super excited about it. But yeah, and this is
it. Is it like for all audiences or is it more for older? I mean, it's R rated? Do you think it's like a?
Our hope is no.
My 8-year-old daughter's gonna be like Ghosties. She loves paranormal stuff, you know, ghosts.
Yeah.
Like,
oh. No, it is paranormal. And yeah, thanks. And it is paranormal. I think I think my hope would be like a PG-13 rating because it is supposed to be scary. It is scary, but it's also written to have a lot of humor and heart.
Like Beetlejuice-ish, maybe.
Yeah. Like this is a movie this is a movie I really want people not to feel ostracized from enjoying. Like I want people to, I want to welcome in new audiences to this kind of genre. To be like, look, this is a thing that you can enjoy with multiple kinds of like demographics. You know, this is a film that I want like girlfriends to like crack a bottle of wine open and like watch it on a Tuesday. Like this is what I want. And so, you know, playing with this and you learn these things just by doing it. You learn it by engaging with audiences, seeing what they respond to, what they don't respond to. So none of this is linear. I think if you're in the indie film festival circuit world, none of this is really linear. You're creating a community first, you know, you're like those talking mushrooms in the forest. Like you're just building up like
the mycelium like connections underground. Like you don't really know what's happening. It's like in the ether.
Right. Cause you can't, it's just non-linear. You have to trust the process and you have to trust your own authentic voice and you have to trust that you're learning your voice better and better and better as you're bouncing it off other audiences and people.
That's fantastic. That's great. That's great advice. My question for you guys regarding, I'm going to go into each one of your pieces. You know, you, Anastasia, made an anti-war fairy tale. And I think one thing that, you know, and you, Julie, you use genre and comedy to address social issues in an entertaining way. Now, obviously, that's more important than ever to put, you know, to put these messages. And they are in animated films. Like I watch, you know, having an 8-year-old, you watch every animated film on the planet. And I've also always loved animated films, you know, I just have, and just in general films with obviously a message. So what's the point? I tell my daughter, cause we're working on her little, she does like clay creatures. So we're doing like clay and, stop motion animation stuff, which, and I've done all sorts of types of films and I've never done stop motion. So I'm like, okay, I don't know what I'm doing here, but I love Aardman Studios. And like, I love all the animated claymation stuff. And so just in general, I love that it's very powerful. So both of you guys see this, your genre, your type of film being very powerful and a way to like drop in the messages, but then use entertainment. So, you know, Anastasia, and I'll ask you a question about yours. You said yours is a little bit dark, but yet at the same time, you know, a child could watch it. It's to me, and even with yours, Julie, yours is like not that dark. I mean, it may be at the end, but it was not the horror movies that I grew up with that I do not like. Like, I feel like I'm not really into, I was never into like just violence, you know what I mean? Obviously that's not perpetuating any kind of positivity, but both of y'all's pieces, you touch on things, but you're not over the top with it. And I believe that's because it's not heavy handed male type of writing. I think it's feminine writing. And so as women come into being able to have more opportunities in this day and age, you know, I wanted to just ask you how you see, like, you already said, Julie, you already talked about your next project, but how do you see your career and your next project and making films that are entertaining and with messages? How do you see that being a part of your process? And, you know, I can start with you, Anastasia, since, you know, your piece is so much about something that is on everybody's minds all the time because we are in forever wars. But I love the anti-warfare plot. I want to see a whole feature film about it from, you know, so.
No, thank you so much. For me, since I came into animation from fine art background, that ability to use that visual metaphor, because I don't know if I'm supposed to say the synopsis, but basically the idea is that there are two rulers who started the war, and even after all the people were dead, they start counting the bones to decide who should rule the kingdom. So that visual metaphor of like kind of cruelty, but still there is no blood, there is nothing actual action happening, but using that dark, cruel kind of metaphor and like cynical, really emotionless approach to humans' lives was really important for me. And I think I kind of took a grasp and learned to create those metaphors while I was doing fine arts, just because fine arts is such a abstract like form of art. And a lot of it comes from like, you know, cultural backgrounds. For example, I used a lot of paintings in fine arts as a reference for some of my shots. I use like Apotheos of the War by Vereshchagin, and a lot of those have been my kind of early inspirations. So that's why in my career-wise, I would love just keep doing short films. I would love to make them longer just because since it was my graduation film, I had a time limit of like 2.5 minutes. And it's a little bit harder to tell like more like darker and like internal story in a such short amount of time. So I feel like for my next one, I think it should be like 7 minutes long. And I just like animation because of that ability to use so many storytelling tools to emphasize that metaphor. How I approach it, like, I take that feeling inside of me, like, that, I don't know, certainly, like, sense of emptiness or when you're too much filled out with emotions, and I'm trying to find that visual metaphor in my head. And then I put it into, like, a script form and storyboarding and everything. So I hope I replied on the question.
I think and also just to speak to the part about you saying 7 minutes, which I love that number 7. That's a great number. That was Julie's pieces like 7 minutes. Is that, you know, there is a whole space for that. You know, there is a space for short form 100%. So, I mean, you know, for me, it's like you just want it to not stop. And so that's why in my mind, I'm like, oh my God, I can imagine a whole film like this because you just want it to keep going. You didn't want it to end. But again, it's like almost like you kill yourself early on before you have like 30, you know, or you have like basically 30 departments, which is really what it is. You need 30 departments to make an animated film. I mean, it's insane how many people are in the titles of any kind of film, but it's the way that you are approaching it, I think is great. You know, you have to kind of start in a more, you know, shorter form. And then the message doesn't have to get, you know, totally lost, I think, because there's a lot of, you know, things that you could work in that are extremely deep that kids could also, you know, and I don't know if you were looking at it from the standpoint of what age could watch this piece and understand it too, because I think that's interesting. Because sometimes, you know, like I know for kids, animation is super hip, but so is like paranormal stuff is like super hip for young kids too. So the fact that you put messages in there when these kids really need positive messages, to me, I mean, you know, and I'm not trying to be like a salesperson, but like being able to make pieces that are cool for adults, that's what I love also about animated films today, is that it's educating and an adult can watch it, but then it's set to the point where a 13 or 12 year old can watch it and understand it. So I think there's a lot of power in that. And I think, you know, if you guys stay within that space and you're trying to do message driven stuff, that's like a nice space to be in. You know, I think the things that are super duper R-rated or super duper dark or super duper out there, which I don't think either one of y'all really gets too crazy, is the things that, you know, they're oversaturated. I think when you start trying to direct stuff at a little bit of a younger audience, you're going to have more success because you're reaching more people. So, you know, I know that's a very hard thing to do. It's hard enough to make your own a film, you know, and obviously get it made, but it's a whole other thing to just have it to where it's universal. So, you know, I feel like that's just a really powerful place to sit if you can pull that off as a filmmaker, especially with animation and for genre films too. I wish we could keep talking. This was a really great conversation, even if it was kind of short. You guys want to share, like, if you could tell us where we could follow you, you know, information maybe on your next projects, and we can start with you, Julie.
Yeah, sure. You can find me on Instagram, JC Sharps. Scam is still in the festival circuit, so we're not online yet, but I'm sure we will find a home as soon as like our festival run is over, which is great. Other than that, like, you know, it's a really hard time. It was last year was kind of like an amazingly weird year to have a film in festivals during the strikes because
You're an actor. You're an actor, director, and all of those things. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, so that was a really hard time. And it was hard watching all of my friends and colleagues like out of work and being so scared. And, you know, it was nice to have like a finished work to share with audiences during that time with independent films. So, and this is a weird year too. Like, this is a really hard year for filmmakers to get things made. Like the whole industry is shifting and there's, you know, it's cyclical, but it's a really, really challenging time for indie filmmakers, any filmmakers. But yeah, I think like, the again, like nothing's linear, nothing's linear.
Everything's a cycle,
and everything's a cycle. But also, like it's not. It's like there's, you know, like this year we fell back in how many women directors had films last year. We fell back in how many women-led films there were last year.
Voiceover actors, yeah. It's always
So none of this is like moving on its own momentum. You just have to keep at it. You have to keep pushing that rock up the mountain.
Yeah. And I mean, I commend you on getting a project made. That's incredible. You know, that must be so exciting. I've so looked forward to it. And it's called Ghosties. You just said you didn't announce it or whatever. So, but I, for those who are out there, we will be on the lookout for that one for sure. And Anastasia, can you tell us just a little bit about where we can find you and anything that's upcoming for you?
Oh, yeah, sure. So you can find me on my Instagram, Xeos Art. You also can Google my name and they're probably going to be my portfolio, IMDb, LinkedIn, all of there, since I'm just starting. For upcoming next, since I am on my student visa, I'm required to be working. And yeah, how Julie mentioned, the also like film industry, animation industry is in a quite rough spot. So majority of time right now, I'm jumping between gigs as an art director or 3D artist, which I'm going to keep doing for next 2 years, I think. But hopefully in a year and a half, I will be able to finalize pre-production for my new film.
Thank you, Julie and Anastasia, for joining us. And I hope to see you maybe at the next Woodstock Film Festival.
Yes, thank you.
And so that's it for this episode of the Let's Talk Film podcast. Remember to like this video if you're on YouTube. We are on Apple Podcasts, where most people listen to this podcast. So
take care, guys.